Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Well, we're here up in the beautiful Hoopa Valley, and we're here with Megan and Robert Baldy, and we're going to talk about Indigenous foods. Robert, can you tell us about your tribal affiliation?
Hoopa and Yurok.
So when you go out, you're 18 years old.
Yeah.
When did you first start hunting deer?
I've been doing it with my mom and dad since I was a baby. Uh-huh. I've been going hunting with them. We'd all go hunting together with my uncle and my auntie.
So it's a family activity.
Yeah. My dad used to like to take me because he always said I was the lucky charm when he ever took me.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't start hunting myself until I was 12, but I've been with it most of my life.
Uh-huh. So you've seen kind of the process of what happens.
I've always
and
seen
raised
it.
In that.
Yeah.
Do you go out and you camp when you're hunting?
No.
Just go out for the day?
Yeah, just go out for the day. Hopefully we get lucky because what I believe in is when you're going out there, you're not going out there to look for the deer. The deer will come out, decide to come out for you. It's just the luck of the day when the animal decides to come out and whether or not it's ready to be killed or not. Give its life for us.
Where do you go hunting?
Around here.
Uh-huh, just in the Hoopa Valley?
Most of the time, but sometimes we go out to my uncle's house and down at Susanville, and we go hunting down there. They have mule deer down there, and he's a tribal member down there, so we get to go on the tribal land, and we get those big mule deers, and we bring it home, and we like to give it to our family.
What type of deer do you harvest here in the Hoopa Valley?
Blacktail deer.
Okay. Are they smaller than the mule deers?
Yeah, they're way smaller.
Okay. I don't know a lot about deer. So let's talk a little bit about your traditions around hunting for deer and what you do to prepare to do that.
Usually we say a little prayer before we go out hunting with our family, make sure we're safe, make sure we get something, make sure that everything's right, weather's good, hopefully, and then we just go out there and hope for the best. My dad, he likes to hunt with the bow nowadays. He's killed 5 deer with the bow. I've been trying to get all my bow skills, but I'm not the best at it yet.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully someday, though.
So when you actually killed a deer, what are the steps that are done after that?
We go get the deer and then we put it in the back of the truck and then we find a nice spot to where we can gut it and then where we can leave the organs and stuff for the bears to eat because they like that stuff. So make sure we don't go, nothing go to waste because I know the bears or something will eat it. So, and then we put it back in the truck and then we drive home and then we hang it up.
And then once you hang it, do you start processing it right away?
Here, more likely we'll start processing it right away, but if we're at my uncle's house, something about the weather, the humidity over there, if you leave it over the night, it'll like cure a little bit, tenderize it a little bit better or something like that.
It dries out better.
Yeah, it dries out better and then it'll be a little bit easier and it'll be a lot better.
It's a lot humid here, so it doesn't really dry the meat if you hang it, so they'll process it.
Do you butcher it up at that point?
First, we got to take the hide off of the deer, then we butcher it up. So we quarter it up and then we butcher it up.
Do you do something with the hide? Do you cure it?
Sometimes if we're going to make a drum, we'll salt it down so we make sure it's still good. And then if you're going to make a drum, you make sure you try to get all the fur off. There's an old way you do it. You leave it in the creek. Most of the fur will come off and then you got to pluck the rest of the fur off the hide.
Do you save any of the organ meat, like the liver?
The heart and the liver.
The heart and the liver?
Yeah, that's okay. What we save.
Are there any traditions around eating the heart and the liver?
Some.
Women don't eat heart and the men do, so.
It symbolizes good luck if you eat the heart.
And then this woman doesn't eat liver.
Huh?
Yeah.
I'm the same way. How do you like to prepare liver?
My mom usually prepares it by frying it up for us.
I usually fry the liver and the heart the next day or that day if it's in the early morning. And then make them like a breakfast, like fried heart and liver and eggs is what they usually like to eat. His grandfather likes the heart, and then his great aunt likes the liver, so they'll give it to them. If an elder wants it, they'll give it over in place of themselves.
Yeah, always.
Yeah.
There's certain ways you share the meat, like you give the best part of the meat, best part of the deer to your elders. So the best part is the back strap, and that's who I give to my grandpa, my grandma, and my great grandpa.
Your aunts.
And my aunties, my great aunties.
That's nice, taking care of everybody.
Yeah.
What are the different cuts of meat and how do you prepare those?
The first cut we make when we're cording up the deer is we take out the shoulders and then we go for the back strap and then you go to the ribs, break the backbone, so get off there, and then most of the time we'll like get the meat off of the backbone and then you cut the hams and the sides.
It sounds like it's a multi-person job.
It's a lot easier if it's a multi-person job, but it can be done by one person.
Depends on the size of the deer.
Yeah, if it's really big, it's going to be pretty difficult to do it by one person.
And we try to use every portion of the deer. So like even the backbone and the neck and all the bones, I put in a pressure canner and I pressure can all that. And then I scrape off all the meat once it's done, probably about a half hour. And then I take the bone broth and the meat and I can it up into a jar, and then it's usually like good gravy or deer stew, and that's actually what we ate last night with some canned deer stew and
awesome.
Our canned deer meat. Basically, we try to use everything of the deer.
It's making me think about your husband makes those barrettes and things out of the bones, right?
Antlers.
He's actually made a couple out of bone.
Did he?
A couple of hair sticks out of bones, uh-huh. or he made earrings out of bone, but antlers are what they use. So
now when you learn how to butcher a deer the first time, it sounds like your dad was behind you, kind of guiding your hand, kind of showing you how to do that.
It's like the best picture of him showing me. So that's the biggest deer I've ever killed. It's a California forked horn.
It doesn't get any different than a fork its whole life. So it's huge, but you see, like I said, it's like his dad's over him, like guiding his hand through the process, showing him like, you start here, and this is why you start there, and this is the best way. So this is kind of like a picture that we showcase when we talk about the importance of connection of food. When he eats this deer, or when we eat this deer, they think of this moment, you know? I remember my dad was doing this. Oh, this is the deer that I killed. Uncle was giving the traditional story, so that's that connection to food that we receive from that.
And that second picture right there is actually of a corn and arrow camp. It's just me, though, in that picture. Probably see some kids in the background, but it's mainly me doing it to get it started, kind of demonstrating, and then they get to take off the rest of the hide.
So when you're out at Antelope Lake and you're teaching young people how to hunt for deer, how to harvest deer, and how to respect deer, who teaches those classes?
Me and my father and my uncle, always. But sometimes he'll step back and let me do it, but I say that pretty much the exact same thing he said to me the very first time I did it.
So, or if he leaves details out, they'll just interject. Most of the time, they'll allow him to be the teacher, which is great because uncle's the older generation, his dad is you know, his above generation, and then he's this generation.
And then the generation below me.
Yes. And so it's a great showcase to how they're taking care of traditional foods through the generation and maintaining, you know, our elder perspective on it, and then also, you know, giving that to the younger generation so that they know.
What sorts of things do you have to impart to the younger generation about harvesting the deer?
Mostly respect of the animal, because it's given its life to feed you. So that's like one of my main points when I'm teaching this, is like, you got to respect the animal. You can't just like disrespect it, play around with it, try to do it as fast as you can, just get done with it and make it all messy and ruin the meat. So mainly respect is the main thing I try to go for.
Yeah, I like that part about respecting the food and like taking good care of it, just making sure like you can eat every bit of it and that you're not having to throw it away because you didn't treat it right and didn't take care of the meat right.
Yeah.
Do you ever make jerky out of the meat?
Yeah, the old way is you would smoke it, but we use a dehydrator that my dad always puts it in, and it makes really good jerky. I love jerky.
And it's way faster.
Yeah, it's way faster.
We are totally like in the dehydrator before it's done all the time.
Good stuff.
We enjoy our Excalibur dehydrator. And
oh, you've got an Excalibur. I'm so envious. What are the stories that your uncle tells you while you're butchering the deer?
He tells us old Indian stories about how the deer came to be. He says it's the man in the woods. He always says the name in Maidu, but I always forget the name. But in Hoopa, it's Kitlahan, the sweet-tasting food.
Thank you so much, Megan and Robert. And thank you for taking the time to share your stories about Indigenous foods.
Well, thank you for having us. We really appreciate to be able to get our stories out there. And thank you guys for coming up and joining us up here in Hoopaw.
Yeah, thank you so much.
This program was supported in part by the Northwest California Tribal Communities Extension Program, a USDA-funded project through the University of California Cooperative Extension of Humboldt and Del Norte counties.